It never occurred to Hannelore Herald that the club Tong Pang would disappear. She assumed it would be there when she got up the courage to step through its enormous wooden iron doors. No one she knew had ever been inside the Tong Pang. Its windowless exterior cloaked foreign and fascinating conversations and transactions. Its doors were that of a fortress. She was determined that one day, in a fit of dizzy valour, she would storm it. The Club Tong Pang was one of her special targets for infiltration. With expensive cars parked out front, it was incongruous in the corner mini mall, which had a laundromat on one side and a cheap Thai takeout place on the other. She'd heard of Korean hostess bars and pictured very young, very bored Korean girls in tight dresses listening to businessmen basting their egos. The Tong Pang was a hostess club, she was convinced. But the weird thing was that she never seemed to see anyone coming in or going out of it. She was driving home one night after rehearsal, waiting to make the left onto her street and staring, as usual, at the Tong Pang, when a tall, skinny white guy came out of the club's door. Hannelore watched him as he walked through the parking lot and on up the street. He was already an unexpected development. When he passed under the street light, damn, she thought. Large eyes, big nose, corn silk, blonde hair, just her type. Which pretty much always meant bad news. Hannelore was now, of course, convinced the Club Tong Pang was the perfect setting for a play. She vowed to herself then and there to venture in as soon as she found out about the reading of her play, Goodyear, at the Root Theatre. The next day, she got the good news about Goodyear. The Root would stage a reading of it with Hannelore directing. The call from the theatre had come at noon. Bernice, her boss, had given her the day off from the boutique where she worked. She had plenty of time. No more excuses. She walked down the hill from her apartment toward the Tong Pang, admiring the view of the Griffith Observatory and the Hollywood sign, what she always thought of as the stars and the stars. She threw a scathing look at the car wash across the street to see if any dope dealers were sneaking through the shadows. She was, after all, the neighbourhood watch block captain. But it was empty, except for a black Mercedes getting its final rubdown. The car's windows were so deeply tinted, she couldn't tell if anyone was inside. The three usual street punks gave her a half-hearted, "Hey, mamacita!" She ignored them. She walked up to the Tong Pang's doors and yanked on the iron door pull. The doors didn't budge. Then she noticed a for-lease sign tacked up across the far side of the club. This had definitely not been up the night before. That's how the first novel by local writer Janice Hash begins. The setting is a down-market neighbourhood in downtown Los Angeles, where Janice Hash lived for a time in the 1980s.
This neighbourhood in the 80s was big office buildings, plus Latino families, plus it becoming Koreatown. And so it was just this very interesting, fascinating United Nations kind of experience living there. And there was a club that was down on the corner of where I lived. It was about a block away, half a block away. And it was a Korean nightclub. And it had no windows. You know, it had these gigantic doors that looked, you know, sort of forbidding. And I would drive by there every day, and I would think to myself, you know, what goes on in there?
In the 1920s and 1930s, Hollywood stars had lived in the neighborhood. But by the time Janice moved in the 1980s, it was rapidly becoming what is now known as Koreatown. Janice had some Korean neighbors and had picked up some knowledge of their culture. But when she decided to write the book, she figured she needed to do some more research.
One of the aspects that I was familiar with, and this does pop up in a chapter in the book, is there was and is a very famous hot springs in the area that's called the Beverly Hot Springs. And immediately after I moved out of that neighborhood, it became very trendy, and Madonna went there, and it was like a big celebrity hangout. But when I lived there, it was not. It was primarily patronized by the Korean Americans, and sometimes just plain Koreans. And so, but you know, I went there, and it was a absolutely fabulous underground spa where the hot springs bubbled up, because they really were hot springs. They were in the middle of L.A., and hot springs were bubbling up, And then they had shiatsu. Well, I had never had a shiatsu massage before I went there, and it was kind of terrifying. And
why is that?
Because it hurts. And also, they did it the way they do in Korea, which is that here, you know, there are all different kinds, and probably now the Beverly Hot Springs has different laws. But in those days, they kind of just left it to itself. So they would do everything the way they did in Korea. And here, of course, there's all these protocols. Like, in other words, it's very unusual for shiatsu massage the way it's done. A woman would always be assigned to a woman. But there, if you didn't, you know, unless you requested a woman, you were going to get a male masseuse. And they are just throwing you around from one side to another and dangling you off the table. And, you know, and it's just like, whoa, you know. So, but it was, you know, it was good for you.
So it sounds like you're being beaten up.
You were pretty much being beaten up, but it was good for you. And so this appears in the book as well, you know, this whole experience of going into the Beverly Hot Springs. So anyway, but as far as the research goes other than shiatsu, yes, I did have to do a lot of research because I had to figure out what the plot was going to be.
On the website, the publisher describes the novel as a humorous mystery. According to Janice, while there is some rough stuff in the book, this isn't Mickey Spillane.
A couple of people who have read my book have compared it to Alexander McCall Smith, who writes this South African series. And again, it's a woman-centered, it's a female protagonist, and the stuff that they get up to has more to do with the characters than it does with people pulling guns. You know, there actually is a couple of places where people pull guns in my book, but that's limited. Very limited. There's not a lot of that going on. But I did have to figure out a plot. So I thought, okay, well, what's actually going on in the Korean community that I could build a plot around? And so luckily, I happened to encounter, by serendipity, a story in the LA Times that turned out to be a perfect starting point for how I could concoct a plot about what was really going on inside this club.
The book is called The X-Club Tong Pang by Janice Hash. You can read an excerpt from it on the publisher's website, twilighttimesbooks.com. That's all one word, twilighttimesbooks.com. It's also available as a download from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and OmniLit, among others. The paperback edition will be out on December 15th. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Wenham.